I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Good, what are we, late Friday night, early Saturday morning, New York sports fans. And yes, that is me, Danielle McCartan. We'll be talking all things New York sports up until 6 a.m. right here in New York City and beyond. We've got Ray Jarvis behind the glass tonight. So thanks for tuning in to the show. We are live right here in Lower Manhattan. And you know that number. It's 888-808-1019. And you call me up and be part of the conversation. Where I wanted to start tonight is this Dodgers-Yankees series. Look, I am fully aware that this is the most frequent World Series matchup of all time. 12 times, in fact. And the Yankees still lead the Dodgers, by the way, 8-4. I know the last time it didn't really work out for the Yankees, but there's that. And I have to tell you, I do not, under any circumstances, want to hear this at all anymore on my show, on any other show, on any radio program, on any TV program. I am sick and tired of hearing this weekend's Yankees Dodgers weekend called a World Series preview. It makes absolutely no sense to call it that. I mean, Aaron Boone was asked about it after the game even. Like, how ridiculous. He said, with a laugh, he actually laughed out loud and said, we're all incomplete teams, and there are so many things to still go through to get in those situations. Exactly is what I say. Now, for four reasons, this is not a World Series preview. If you want to call it something, you can call it a litmus test. We'll get to that in a second. But by no means is this a preview of the World Series. First and foremost, there is no guarantee that either or both of these teams make it to the World Series. Like, I know as of right now, both teams are favored in their respective leagues to make it to the World Series. The Yankees in the AL, the Dodgers in the NL. But baseball, I don't know if you know this, but baseball is not played on paper. And baseball sure as hell is not played in the back rooms of the Las Vegas casinos, odds-setting rooms. Like, in real life, maybe the Braves or the Brewers get hot. Maybe they knock out the Dodgers. Who knows? Maybe the Rays stave off the Yankees in the AL East, and they force the Yankees into a not build up Aaron Judge into a wild card round. That could be a major disaster. So let's pump the brakes on either or both of these teams even making it to the World Series. The number two reason why this is not a World Series preview. Did you check the calendar, the date? It's July 17th. And of course, the 18th and the 19th is the weekend, right? Or today's the 18th, actually. It's 2 o'clock in the morning, so it's the 18th. Whatever. We're smack dab in the middle of July. Do you know what that means? It means that after August 3rd, the date of this year's trade deadline, these teams could and probably should look vastly different than they do right now. If you look at the Yankees alone, they need an upgrade at catcher. They could really use the bat-to-ball skills of Luis Arraez to differentiate that lineup a little bit. By the way, he'd be a rental. And they should push all of the chips in for Mason Miller. Can you imagine? Bednar to Miller? I mean, that's giving shades of Jeff Nelson to Mariano Rivera, if you ask me. Also, to me, that would represent a grand slam trade deadline for Brian Cashman. So yeah, this Yankees team will be constructed differently in August than it is now. You mark my words. So to call this a mini World Series or a World Series preview is just silly. It's not that. Stop hyping it up to be that. The number three reason, the pitching alignment. The Yankees, in no World Series ever, are going to throw in this order Gerrit Cole, Ryan Weathers, and then Cam Schlittler. If this were the World Series, the rotation would probably look like this. Schlittler, Fried, Cole, then Rodon, which is a perfect lefty, or righty lefty, I guess, because Schlittler's a righty. So you could say a righty lefty alternate split, whatever you want to call it. And the same goes for the Dodgers too, by the way. Like, in no World Series are the Dodgers going to pitch Sasaki, Sheehan, and then Yamamoto, especially in that order, which leads me to my next point. The number four reason why this is not a World Series preview is the amount of injuries on both teams. We'll take the Dodgers first. For them, they're starting catchers on the shelf, Will Smith, and two starting pitchers, Tyler Glasnow, Blake Snell. You recognize those names, right? And then their closer, oh yeah, that guy with the trumpets, Edwin Diaz, all on the IL. And obviously, those are four major pieces to the Dodgers' overall puzzle here in 2026. And then the Yankees, of course, Aaron Judge, and we'll talk about that coming up. I think it's pretty good news. I think I'm usually a pretty pessimistic person, but I actually think it's pretty good news. We'll talk about that. What came out today was that he showed a little bit of healing. All right. So when's the return date? Nobody knows. But I think it's positive. I do. And we'll get into that. But on the Yankees IL, you've got Judge. You've got Giancarlo Stanton, Carlos Rodon, Max Fried, and Clark Schmidt. Again, those are one, two, three, four, five huge pieces to the Yankees' overall puzzle. When whether Clark Schmidt pitches in a World Series if they get there or not, or maybe he's trade bait, who knows? But still, that's still an integral role for this team moving forward. And if you think back to that World Series against the Dodgers, Rodon and Schmidt started a game each. One each. And if you zoom out and look at all of those players, that's like, it's like a whole all-star team, man. Players on the IL for both teams make up basically like an all-star team pretty much. I mean, look, all of those players who are not playing in this regular old series in the middle of July will be back. Most of them, anyway, most all of them, in time for the postseason. So this right now, what you're watching on TV, what we are watching on TV, is not anywhere near the juice that a World Series would have. But so then what is it, Danielle? What is it? What is this Dodgers-Yankees series in the Bronx? Well, if you're asking me, it's just a regular series. That's it. But if you have this need, an obligation, this innate obligation to call it something, well, then maybe you could call it a litmus test. Maybe it is just a litmus test to see how the Yankees, as currently constructed, stack up against the best team in Major League Baseball, even as they are currently constructed. So in this little exercise, what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at the individuals. I'm looking at, forget about the Dodgers, I'm looking at Yankees players that are expected to make an impact in the fall. I came up with two good ones and two not so good ones based on today or Friday night's game. Number one, there was the good. We'll take the good first. Gerrit Cole. He's been up and down a little bit since he's returned. But Gerrit Cole, no doubt about it, would be getting a start if the Yankees were to make the World Series this season, regardless of the opponent. So Cole versus a mostly intact Dodgers lineup. Money. I mean, really. Boone, after the game, said, it's really back-to-back outstanding outings for him. I thought he was really sharp. And he was. Gerrit Cole had a season-high number of pitches. It was 103 pitches. He was totally in control. He pitched all the way into the seventh inning. All good things. Until Max Muncy took a 90.5-mile-an-hour slider and crushed it into the second deck. Here's the talking point. Here's something that the Yankees need to straighten out before the fall. Cole and Boone need to get on the same page. Look, I love it when Gerrit Cole barks at Aaron Boone and his binder back to the dugout, sends him back in there with the pencil pushing. I love it. I love that. I do. Sometimes it works when Gerrit Cole does it. Sometimes it doesn't. And a few hours ago in game one of this series, it did not work. I reference the Muncy home run. That was the only mistake pitch that Gerrit Cole made all night. So moving forward, what I need to see from these two men throughout the second half of the season for the Yankees is them getting on the same page. And look, I know that pitchers are like predisposed. Is that the word? Predisposed. To always insist, they're fine, they can go, don't worry, I'll get it done, don't take me out, I get it. And I know this particular manager especially loves to trust his players. But there needs to be a better balance of honesty right there between Cole, the pitcher, and Boone, the manager. Because Aaron Boone is supposed to be the authority figure in that relationship. And when he feels it's time, it's time.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
And they need to figure out when precisely that occurs. Because this tipping point, this one bad pitch, was the difference in the game. This cannot happen in a crucial game in a postseason series. Because all of the games are crucial. And I don't want to see the two of them arguing on the mound, and then something like that happens. That happened just a few hours ago. It can't. Now Aaron Boone, after the game, said, well, that falls on me. Well, all right. I mean, it's nice to take accountability. It's nice to hear. But now you have the difficult conversation with him in your office tomorrow morning. You need to figure it out together throughout the rest of the summer so that when the fall happens and, you know, it's at that time where should we take him out? Should we not take him out? There needs to be an agreement between the two. The fighting cannot happen in the postseason. And then the other good individual, because now we're not looking at this as a whole team. Don't lose sight of that. Because this team is not the team that's going to be making a push into the postseason. This is not it. But if we're looking at individual performances against the Dodgers, who are the best team in baseball, I think Jason Dominguez made the case to stay a Major League Yankee beyond August 3rd. Because I look back to the Dodgers in the last World Series. We talked about this right here. That they were aggressive on the base pass against the Yankees. And also, too, just even the Blue Jays come to mind. They were the same. Aggressive on the base pass. Last World Series. And I don't know. They just always seem to take an extra base on like a single to the outfield, something like that. And still, the Yankees are just too station to station for my liking. So when in the bottom of the fourth inning, you got Jason Dominguez taking third base after his double, after Andy Páez's error, which was a bobble, I loved to see it. I loved it. And then, I don't know, moments later, dashing home on the pass ball to score the game's first run, that was even more exciting. So just extremely heads up running by Jason Dominguez with extreme difference-making speed. I loved to see it. Now, the bad. The individual litmus tests against the best team in baseball, which is still missing many pieces. Don't make any mistake about that. But there was some bad that was exposed yet again a couple hours ago. Number one being the approach at the plate in crunch time. It needs to change. And again, we're going to talk about players, individual players, that should have an impact on these Yankees postseason plans, factoring in to get big at-bats. Okay, let's go to the eighth inning. The Yankees had something going. Cody Bellinger at the plate. Okay, runners on first and second. Two outs. Cody Bellinger's first pitch swinging. Why? Fly ball, caught, out, inning over. He's just looking for seeing one pitch in that situation? Really? Just one? Like, that can't happen. You have to work the count in that situation. And he didn't. Bad approach. It needs to change. We go back to the ninth inning. You had Jazz Chisholm Jr. was swinging for the fences after one push bunt attempt. Like, did he even have a plan at the plate? I'm not sure. Bam, two outs. Bottom of the ninth inning. And again, the score was 2-1 Dodgers at this point. Jose Caballero stepping in there. Also swinging for the fences, which was wild because it would have only tied the game. And he ended up popping up to end the game. But like, the approach. Let's go back to the approach. What happened to Judge is he had this big saying of passing the baton to the next guy. Both of these guys wanted to be the hero, and none of them were. You can't be the hero if you are not working together. So, two at-bats, two bad at-bats to end the game for the Yankees without a fight. Bang, bing, bam, boom. Good night. See you tomorrow. But probably the most egregious failure of the litmus test, so to speak, against this Dodgers team. And again, we're not calling this a World Series preview. We're just not. That came from the $22 million man that is supposed to make a big impact in the Yankees postseason in center field. That is Trent Grisham. So Grisham, who represented, again, the tying run in the bottom of the eighth inning, was thrown out at home plate on a Ben Rice deep fly. I mean, that ball could not have split the outfielders between center and right better or more equidistant, more equally. It couldn't have done it any more equal. And there was no chance, even from my couch, I could tell they weren't catching that ball. Could Grisham have thought it was a home run, and that's why he was jogging from first to second? You cannot assume that, Trent Grisham. You have to run hard until told otherwise. So, of course, he answered questions barely in the postgame. So, Trent Grisham, why were you jogging?
Well, it was a double off the wall, so I'm assuming go at all times.
You picked him up okay, though?
Yeah, I picked him up great.
Did you feel like you hesitated at all coming around second?
No.
What? You said that there might have been a little bit of confusion between the don't go and then go, reading the throw from the last. Did you slow down a little bit from between the second and third? Or?
No, I don't think so.
What? Well, I mean, what? What do you mean? There was, then that, by the way, courtesy of the Yes Network, there was no ownership, no accountability. Like, we literally all of us, in the stadium, watching from home, listening on the radio, even those people saw you jog from first to second base. We then all saw you look over your shoulder, rounding second base to watch the ball, not pick up your coach. No way. And we all watched you slow down around the third base bag. Like, what are you talking about, Trent Grisham? That was a crucial mistake in a huge spot in this game. And that is the line of delineation between great teams and good enough teams. You just showed why the Yankees are a good enough team, not a great team. Because you don't mess up on that. And, you know, you've played this sport. There's a feel for it. Like, when you're running around the bases, especially at home, you have a feeling that I can't describe in words. But you know if you're going to make it home or not. When I was coaching softball, every time a kid got to third base, regarding pass balls, for example, in particular, I would tell them this. I would say, look at the depth of the backstop. Check it out. And then take your lead, of course. Watch where the ball bounces or ricochets. And no matter what I tell you, if you feel like you can make it, do it. That's an aggressive mistake. Fine. I'm okay with that. I am. And if you don't feel it, if you don't feel that feeling, if you're, that inner voice says you're not going to make it, don't do it, regardless of what I said. And kids have run home. Kids have stopped and turned back to third base and told me I didn't feel it. Kids, there is no way that Trent Grisham had the feeling like he was going to make it. Especially with the meat of the order coming up. There really is not an excuse there. And Aaron Boone was asked about it after the game as well. And this is ridiculous, but here's what Aaron Boone said.
Kind of getting into the run, like first to second, making sure it was definitely obviously in the gap. And then I thought Louie actually did a good job in reading the throw, that it was going over the second baseman's head, and Mookie was kind of on the run to have to go make the play, and then, you know, made a pretty good throw on the run. So, you know, don't have an issue with taking the shot there.
And then he later tacked on this quote, I don't have an issue with the send. Well, I don't have an issue with the send either, I guess. I have an issue with the runner's effort. No one asked about that. No one asked about the runner's effort, which was not what he said it was. Was not what the runner said it was. And here's a little nugget. Did you know this? Trent Grisham is tied for, I don't know what the noun, but he is tied for the most thrown outs being thrown out at home plate in the American League. Tied for the most. So why not pinch run for him that late in the game, bottom of the eighth? Like, you've got a speed guy like Volpe who, you know, can be a terror on the base paths, who's not tied for league lead in the AL for getting thrown out at home plate. For example, why not pinch run for Trent Grisham there? But no, Aaron Boone decided that he was going to stick by the guy atop the American League in getting thrown out at home in a game they were down by one run real late. Okay, here we go again. So again, just to zoom out, this, my friend, is not a World Series preview for a multitude of different reasons, but you can look at this and you can kind of grade out individual players and their performance and say, well, against the best team in the league, they got it. Or against the best team in the league, they still have work to do. And the Yankees have a couple months, weeks of work to do. 888-808-1019. My name is Danielle McCartney. We'll talk about some injury updates, especially to Aaron Judge, coming up next right here on The Fan.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.